Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Kristen, Brittany, and Karen. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hello.
All right, so how's everyone doing? Is it cold where you guys are? Because it's gotten really, really cold here.
Oh no, it's actually beautiful out today.
Really?
Yeah,
it's I haven't been outside yet today.
It's a little chilly. It's in between.
See, the weather, like, yesterday was really nice, and it was sunny and great, but then, like, today it's cold again. And then if it rains, it's, like, the really, really cold, gross rain, and you want, like, five jackets on. So, like, we've hit fall, like, in full stride where it's gross out now.
Yeah, I definitely put on, like, winter warm boots to go to work yesterday, and it hurt my soul just a little.
I mean, it is November, so I guess it's expected, but still.
I keep forgetting it's November, though. Like, I feel like it shouldn't be yet.
I know. It's so weird. Like, on Tuesday, we're like, wait, 11? What? Wait, 11? What? As I was writing out the dates, I'm like, no, that can't be right. So, all right, let's get started with what you guys have been reading. Karen, what have you been reading lately?
Not too much, unfortunately, but I did read Papal Justice by C.G. Cooper, which actually ties into our Book Bites this week. It is a political military thriller. I have read it before, but I was getting refreshed on the story, and I surprisingly really like these books. You wouldn't think so with my general taste in novels, but they're just, I like seeing a group of characters, as it is with a lot of these kind of books. You get a group of characters and you just continuously put them in different situations and see how they react. And that's really fascinating to me because sometimes you know exactly how they'll react and other times you have no idea what's going to happen. And even though it can feel maybe a little formulaic, it's just a cool, like, case study on the way that people think and react to things. So it was pretty good. I liked it. And, I also actually did read Cursed. I couldn't be on last week, but I did listen to the episode and pretty much agree with you guys on everything. So there's that.
Okay. Kristen, what have you been reading this week?
The only book I actually, like, finished this week was a reread. It's All Broke Down by Cora Carmack, who is, like, my favorite. And we were going to, you know, talk about sports and stuff today. So I was like, well, I need to read something. And I was having an off week and I couldn't really pick anything new that sounded good enough. And yeah, so I went with a good tried and true, but it's one of my favorites and it didn't disappoint. I love it more and more every time I read it.
What's it about?
It's the second book in the Rusk University series. It's the whole series centers around their football team. It's a football team in Texas, so it's like, you know, everything. And it's in college. This story is about Silas, who plays running back. And he has had, like, a hard lot in life. And just some stuff happens in the first book that throws his world kind of into a tailspin. And so he kind of loses his focus and can't figure out, you know, what he's doing or where he needs to be. And he meets this girl named Dylan, who is having some issues of her own. She kind of, you know, loses herself after a breakup and doesn't really trust her own judgment and doesn't, you know how to see the world anymore. And they kind of have a chance meeting because she gets herself arrested at a protest, like in protest of, I think it was an animal shelter, or a homeless shelter or something. And he's in jail because he hit his friend. And yeah, it's like a quick meet up in a prison overnight. Like, they were both in holdup. And it's actually really cute, though. Like, the story moves on from there. The jail thing is just a funny story, like that one time where I got arrested kind of story. But the book moves on from there and is just really, really good.
I like how their meet cute is in prison.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
All right, then. Brittany, what have you been reading?
So this week, unlike Kristen, in preparation for this podcast, I picked up a book, a science fiction / like historical, awesome genre blending book that has nothing to do with sports. And it's called Arcadia by E.M. Pierce. And it's, I'm about halfway through it. It's like 600 pages, which is a little daunting. And the text is really tiny, and I was not prepared for that. But it's really good. There's a ton of different stories going on within it, and it doesn't really make sense until you figure out that there's this, like, mathematician in the future who figured out how to travel between dimensions, and then, like, you realize that all of the stories kind of interconnect. So there's this Oxford professor who's writing his own, like, otherworldly book, sort of like Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, and then there's this girl who comes over to, like, help him with, like, things around the house and stuff like that. And she discovers, like, a portal in his basement. And so she can travel to other dimensions. And then there's the woman from the future who's, like, traveling, but she left the mirror in this professor's basement. And so, like, they're all connected to her. And it's really, really good and really awesome at keeping the mystery going for, like, over 200 pages where you don't know how any of these stories fit into each other and what time you're in and where it's going. So I'm really enjoying it. And then at the beginning of this week, I also finished Ursula Le Guin's Left Hand of Darkness. So I can move on to another book of hers. But in the meantime, I picked up this and it's keeping my interest. I'll probably finish it this week.
Awesome. All right. So let's do a little book bites first and then move on to our topic for this episode, which is sports books. Yay. So our book bites is about political books, given that in a couple of days, probably by the time you guys hear this, we'll actually be having the election, also known as the apocalypse in America. my plans for Tuesday night are to go to work, go out with my friends after work and drink heavily until we find out the fate of our country. Because I really
think we can do that too. We don't have to go anywhere, but like, right. I was planning on drinking heavily. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the only way to deal with our impending doom. Let's talk a little bit about political books, because political books are sometimes a lot different and sometimes eerily similar to what we see happening in our real world, especially this year. So do you guys love them, hate them, you never read them, or are politics best used as kind of like a sub-genre of a book, like as sort of like, you know, the guy is a politician, but his, you know, the story is really about something else, or a political romance or political thrillers? How do you guys feel about the political topic in general when it comes to novels?
I mean, it's such a crazy, like, the world of politics is so insane and, like, nuanced. Like, you have to, there are so many things that happen that we never see and that we don't know about. And there's all kinds of politics that we see that is, you know, just nuts. Like, it just seems, like, bigger than you can imagine. So when it comes to, like, politics in my books, it helps to, like, complicate matters. Like, there's never a dull moment. It's like watching Scandal. Like, that could take place without having to deal with, like, certain parts of the political spectrum, but it's what gives it its juice. Like, it's a very intense and crazy world, and because of that, you have all of these things that can, you know, happen with it. So, like, I've read a couple of things that have a couple of romances that have politics involved, but, you know, it just kind of steps it up. It makes the stakes a little higher, I think.
Yeah, I think if you can find an author who does politics as well as politics is done on TV, then it's definitely worth it. When I was younger, actually, I read a lot more stuff that was set in, like, law settings or, you know, on the Hill or whatever, because my mom was into that stuff. So she always just had, like, Grisham books lying around. And so when I finished all of my books, I'd be like, all right, I'll pick this up. And so that was really the only time I ever read political set books, because I think once I figured out how to watch The West Wing illegally online and how to, like, you know, really get into old TV shows, then I just started watching those. And I think TV does politics much better as a primary plot point than most books I've read, where I'm really into, like, watching, yes, TV is, like, heightened and stuff like that, but, like, watching, like, trying to get something passed, or all the drama behind, like, manipulating voters like they do in House of Cards, where, like, if we can win these five seats, and, like, when they talk about strategy and stuff like that, that's my favorite part of political stories. But not so much when it's on the page. I find it kind of slow moving like that. So I'm definitely a visual political enthusiast as opposed to reading it on the page. But I do like books with lawyers. I don't know if that's not really politics, though. So
it should come as no surprise that I really like political books, especially dystopian novels. Obviously, a lot of times that deals with the government and the government being corrupt and rebellions against the corrupt government. And it's just fascinating to me because I feel like that is something that might seem ridiculous in the moment, but could happen, has happened. I mean, there's been plenty of corruption in the government, and it's something that, I don't know, depending on how this election goes, might not be too far off. We'll just have to see. But yeah, I really like it. And books like 1984, or even like the comic or the movie V for Vendetta, that I just watched that last night because it was the 5th of November. And that is just so fascinating to me because of the intricacies. And I agree with you, Brittany, like, it can be really slow on the page versus the action that you see on screen. But also, I like seeing the way that the strings are pulled. And you can get that in television for sure, but I think it moves a little bit quicker, whereas in the story, like, you realize, oh my god, 30 chapters ago, that's where this started going, and it's just the way that things are tied together so intricately is what really fascinates me. But I also like political thrillers, which is what I was talking about during the books that I've read section, and the way that you can have a set of characters and you put them in a political situation where they have to, a lot of the stuff that I read is also military. So you have, like, you know, these Marines or something, and they have to dance around this political situation while also completing their mission. And that, seeing the way that that balances, is really interesting to me. And every step you take is going to piss somebody off. So you have to sort of balance that out and make sure that at the end of the day, it's the best that you can do with this basically impossible to win situation.
Yeah, those are kind of my favorite kind of political books too. It doesn't really necessarily have to do with, like, the nitty gritty of politics, which I know is what Brittany, like, absolutely loves, but I like it more as, like, a secondary feel to the book, not necessarily what the book is all about in a way, I guess. Because I like really good thrillers and stuff, so if there's a political element to the thriller, then that's fine by me, but I wouldn't necessarily just pick up a book to have it be about politics.
Yeah, I think I like politics as a setting more than I do. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, you know, when you place a murder in Washington, D.C., you expect it to involve, you know, X number of political things. So, yeah, I think I like it more as a setting. But as you said, like, TV is a totally different animal. So, like, West Wing's awesome. But
right,
I don't know if I'd read a book like West Wing and love it as much as I love the show.
Right. I think as a visual medium, I don't mind. Like, I like things like West Wing and Scandal. Like, I think they're really cool. But, like, to read it, again, I don't think that would be my thing. I don't like the nitty gritty of the let's pass a law and let's do this. Like, it just becomes so bogged down in itself. I think when you're reading it on a page, because you can't really, I think with reading, you have to kind of imagine certain things and see things a certain way. And in politics, it's just, it's a lot. And it's really hard to kind of, I think, for me, to kind of manipulate those things in my mind. If that makes sense in any way. But let's talk about sports, because sports I can manipulate in my mind, no problem. All right.
Sports.
So, I know, this is not Karen's jam.
I'm trying, and, guys. I'm kind of excited, I'm not going
to
lie.
She watched some of the Lions game with me to get pumped for this. And
oh,
she was totally into it. So,
I was. How are they doing, by the way? I'm like,
oh, we scored right before halftime. So, yes. You know, 10-3. Let's go, Lions.
Woo!
There are no Patriots today. They're in a bye week. So Brittany and I are kind of like, okay, great.
I have so much free time. I have so much free time.
I know. I'm like, I don't have 3 hours in front of a TV and just watch. Like, it's not okay. All right, but let's talk a little bit about sports. So what are your favorite sports to, like, read about? Is there a sport that you're like, yes, if it's in a book? Or is there a sport that you, like, absolutely would not want to read about in a book? It can go either way.
Okay. I'm going to kick this off because I don't read a lot of books that have sports in them, but one of my favorite things to read are biographies on coaches. I love reading about coaches. I will watch any ESPN special on coaches. I think that they are so fascinating. And so my real big sports thing comes into play with, like, actual players and actual people who are involved in sports. So I love reading. Like, I think I've read so many books about Joe Torre, and that started when I was younger, just because one of our summer reading books was to read a biography of Joe Torre. And since then, I've read, like, books on Belichick from Patriots and, like, Lewis Carroll, like, the coach at Seahawks. I really love reading about coaches and, like, really long, in-depth stuff about players. Like, there's this great interactive ESPN piece on Doc, the pitcher, who, like, was on that LSD trip and doesn't remember pitching a no-hitter. Like, that, it's one of my favorite, like, things that I've ever read about sports. And I don't really like baseball, but I just love reading anything like that involving sports.
Fascinating. I could see how books on Bill Belichick would be fascinating for so many reasons, because he's just kind of an enigma of a coach. And he plays the game both on the field and off the field. And I always find him a really fascinating human being in general because of how he plays the people around him and how much it agitates
everybody
else in the country. I think that's what I find most fascinating about him, is he will just go out and push everyone's buttons. And he lives for that, and he's good at it. So
yeah, the best pieces to read about Belichick are to find, even if they're just online, are to find people who actively hate him and then read what they write about him, because every single piece ends with, but he's the greatest coach. So it's like, it's so weird to, like, I love reading what people who, like, actively do not like him, and then reading what they have to write about him. Cause I think it just, it's so interesting. Like, there are so many, that comes down to, like, anyone in sports world. Like, if you read, like, stuff of people who hate Tiger Woods and then you read what they write about him, it's like, when he was doing okay. Right now, it's not a great example.
Yeah.
But, like, early on, a lot of people hated him, and you read the stuff and it's like, okay, but he's good. Like, you know, there's that ingrained talent that people can't argue against.
Right. You can't argue that they're fantastic at what they do. You can argue that they might not be great people. Sure. Yes. But really, when we're looking at a sport, it's not about how good of a person you are, per se. It's much more about, can you do your job?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I always find that fascinating, too, because when you're looking at sports, you're looking at a lot of different facets of things that play into it, and people's opinions of you and how those opinions are formed. So I always think that's really interesting, too. All right, Kristen, Karen. Okay, Karen, I'm going to ask you, because I'm dying to know. What sports do you like to read about?
This question is a little difficult for me because I have read a lot of books about hockey. And I definitely love reading books about hockey. I find that really interesting. But I don't necessarily know that that's my favorite sport to read about. I will say that my favorite sport to watch is both indoor and beach volleyball. And I have requested Kristen to find me some books about volleyball, because I'd be interested to know if that's something that I also like reading about. And I think, like, I love sports movies about football and baseball, so I don't see why I wouldn't also enjoy those in book form. Because a lot of it, for me at least, I don't know, as people who are obviously fans of the actual sport, for me at least, the reason why I like sports movies and books is the team dynamic and the idea of underdogs rising to the top. So it's not necessarily whether they're, you know, tackling people on the field or on the ice. That's kind of inconsequential. It has more to do with the relationships and the way that the teammates play with each other and come together to defeat their opponents more than anything else.
That makes sense. That makes sense. How about you, Kristen?
I was going to say, if Karen likes a good underdog story, you really should be a Lions fan.
yeah, you definitely will not be a Patriots fan.
No. That's not a problem you deal with. I mean, I love reading about football, and hockey is good fun, too. I've recently discovered that I like reading about soccer players. The last couple of books that I've picked up involving soccer players have been really different, and just, it's a different world. My brother played soccer, so I know a little, you know, I know a little bit about it. I know the basics, but I, you know, there was a lot I just didn't get about, like, the dedication to the sport and what it takes and the kinds of injuries that they have and what exactly a career-ending injury looks like for them. You know, you see it all the time in football. You know when someone's down for the count, like, you know when it's bad. But with soccer, it's harder, it's different, and that is definitely something that has kind of piqued my interest as of late. That and extreme sports. I read my first extreme sports book called Wilder.
Oh, yes.
And I fell in love with it. Like, I really love that book. And so now I'm like, okay, all right, I need to look into this. And I know Serena Bowen, who we read The Year We Fell Down from, has a, like, winter sports, like, extreme sports series that is, I think, the first series she ever wrote. And I haven't read them yet, but it's on my list. And there's another book that just came out. I think it's called Lessons in Gravity, and I've heard really good things about it. And again, it's about extreme sports and mountain climbing. And, you know, it's just, that's a whole world of stuff I don't think I'd ever do or get into. Like, I'm not going to be riding my bike in a half pipe anytime soon. So, you know, it's normal sports. I see them all the time, but extreme sports just, they have an extra edge that I think adds a lot to a book.
It's true. I read Wilder as well, and I really, really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely am with you on that one. So for me, I think I like reading about most sports. I played a lot of sports in high school, and then I played volleyball in college. So, like, I lived sports for a really large portion of my life. So I just like reading about them because it's fun. And a lot of times you can kind of see where a certain character is coming from because you've either been there or you know people have been there. And so for me, sports books are really different. And I think I read them in a lot of different ways because I read them like in romance novels. A lot of the novels we read, the people are playing sports. And a lot of them recently have been hockey, which I obviously did not play because me and ice are not friends. But I really enjoy reading about hockey a lot. And I like the football books. And there's a couple YA books that I've really enjoyed where it's like a female taking on a role, like playing. She's a quarterback for the team. It's called Catching Jordan by Miranda Canale. That one was really good and really different because it wasn't so much about, I mean, it was about the sports, but it wasn't just about the sports. It was about the girl and what it was like for her to be, you know, a female quarterback in high school and what that meant and all the other problems that are associated with being a girl surrounded by a team full of boys. It's kind of like, I don't know if you guys watch Pitch on Fox right now, but it's a really good TV show. And it doesn't just tackle that this girl is the first female pitcher in the major leagues. There's so many, many more things going on for her and for the team as a whole and what it means to be a professional baseball player and what that looks like. And so those are the kinds of stories I really like. I think they have a lot to say. So those are kind of the things that I like to read about. And we kind of covered this next question, which is how we feel about sports being a part of a novel. Does anyone have anything to add about that topic before we move on?
A book has to have something outside of just the characters. You have to have a setting and a world to kind of place them in to give it structure and kind of give you a way to see what's going on with the events of this. And I think sports help to give you, it's so easy to see, like, if you're reading a book about football, you can see the football field. You know what a football field looks like. They, you know, they all have the exact same things. Stands, the field, the goalposts, blah, blah, blah. Same with a baseball diamond. Like, I feel like it's a really easy setting to step into because they all have specific things that kind of get you excited about stepping into a baseball diamond or a volleyball court or whatever. It's just an easy way to set a book without, you know, having to build an entire world.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I think it also gives you a really great level of secondary characters because you usually have a team associated with the sport. And so that makes it really different than, say, like, just a group of friends. You know what I mean? There's a different level of relationship and commitment and things that are happening when you're part of a team than whether you're just a group of friends. Do you know what I mean?
It's like really important. And the reason why I don't mind reading sports books, I haven't, like I said, I haven't read many, but when we read The Year We Fell Down, that team dynamic, it wasn't all about, because the player was injured. So like we weren't on the ice at all, basically the whole book. And so that whole thing though, where they went to the team party and they're all looking out for each other and you like they know things that are going on in each other's home lives, it's a very different like dynamic than, you know, trying to infiltrate a group of friends. Trying to infiltrate infiltrate a team is even more complicated because I feel like they're together all the time, they're practicing, they're traveling, they're, you know, coming together to win. They get mad at each other, but they're also like have each other's backs. And at the end of the day, they still have to go to practice. Like, it's not like friends where you can walk away and you don't have to see them again. Here, you're constantly thrown together. So I really enjoy that part of those books as opposed to, you know, just having a group of friends who like, oh yeah, we're just like really close and like to hang out with each other. It's like, no, like we have a party, everyone comes, we do this, we do it together. So it's a very different dynamic and one that's really interesting.
So let's talk about some of the tropes we see in sports books. We've all read sports books, either whether they be romance or just, you know, sports as the backdrop or all those things. And I'm sure we've all seen sports movies. I mean, it's just lately that's been the new big thing for Disney is to take the underdog story and just like plaster it all over and make these really crazy, like sentimental movies out of them. So clearly there's the underdog, you know, the team that should never win or the person that should never make the team or however you guys want to look at it. So how do you guys feel about that underdog story? Do you feel like at this point it might be a little overdone?
Oh, I'm a sucker. I am such a sucker. It doesn't matter how many times I read the underdog story. I buy it hook, line, and sinker every time. It's just one of those things. It's you know, seeing this team or, you know, people that don't have the best of the best of the best. They weren't hunted, you know, they weren't brought together by someone because they were the most skilled at their positions. But if a team can come together and prove everyone wrong and work together so seamlessly that they are better, it just... there's nothing better than that.
How about you, Brittany? Do you read underdog stories, or if it's been a part of your story, a story you've read, how do you feel about it?
I don't mind them. I do, unfortunately, like when they lose at the end, but they learn from their experience because they came together. Because I don't like books that seem too easy. But
right.
Yeah, I do like the misfits coming together for a common goal type thing, sort of like season one of Glee. Like all of those people came together,
yes,
and then they still lost. You know what I mean? So it like, but it's right. Good. Like that's the type of story I like. I like the all different types of personalities coming together and learning something that they might not have known about one another because of this shared interest, or almost for shared interest, because it's like, oh, you're really fast at running, but you have no idea how to play soccer, so we're just going to take you anyway. You know, it's like that learning curve of that I like. I like the my favorite thing in like movies and stuff are like great makeover montages. So like I love a good sports montage, like where like they're right. Training and getting things done, like Cadet Kelly, where she's learning how to toss the guns. Oh, favorite thing in the world. So yes, you know, like
Cadet Kelly.
Yeah. Oh my god. Have you guys ever seen the Cutting Edge movie? Like it was
Oh yes. Oh, with the ice skating? Yeah.
Yes.
Michelle Trachtenberg. He's amazing. He's
no, like the original one.
Oh no. I've never seen
that. Okay.
With what's her name?
Yeah, I don't remember her name either.
She's Mandy on the West Wing for those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right.
That one. That's the original Cutting Edge before it was like ABC Family-ified.
Yeah.
So basically, he's a hockey player. He gets himself in trouble, can't play hockey anymore. He gets hit pretty badly. So she is a pair skater, doesn't have a partner. So they put them together. Like, that is the all, like, it is all kinds of awkward and fun. I love it. So that's a really good one, too. So, and then you have things like, always another really big one is kind of like, you know, you have the big game. It's always about whatever the big game is. So, like, everything in the book leads up to this one, like, ultimate moment, which is this game. And will they win or lose? And what does it mean? And how do they get there? So that's always, that's another big one. I don't know if you guys have seen, like, Friday Night Lights, the movie, and stuff like that. So those, all of those things were kind of, like, based on books. And so, like, especially Friday Night Lights, you guys are all familiar with that, right?
Yeah. I've seen the show, not the movie, but well, yes.
Well, it's the same idea, essentially. It's basically the same thing, but longer. Karen?
Yeah, I know. Homework.
Really? You've never seen Friday Night Lights?
Nope.
Kristen?
Oh, Riggins.
What about, like, Leon Marshall?
Nope.
Oh.
Kristen?
Great sports movies. That are missing from your catalog.
Miracle on Ice? No? No. Nope. Invictus?
Yes.
Oh, hey, there we go. We got one.
You got one.
That was a good movie.
Dang it, you see?
I was going to say, Remember the Titans has a big game. Yeah. Like, it's all about the championship. So, yeah, that kind of fits into.
True facts. So those are all kinds of the things where basically, I mean, clearly Invictus was a little bit different than the other ones we mentioned. So for like the other ones, it was football, or Miracle on Ice is hockey, and it's about the 1980, Olympic team before professionals played hockey, at least for our country. So for anyone who doesn't know that particular story, it was basically about the gold medal game of the Olympics in the 1980s. And it really... the boys that went to play for the United States were literally that. They were college players. They weren't professionals yet. They played college hockey, and they were playing against some of the most well-trained professionals in the world. And it all came down to the United States and Russia, and or the USSR back then. Like, that's kind of how big of a deal it was. And so that one, you watch that one, and it's a really cool movie to watch. And it has a really good coach. Like, the coach in that is really cool. And so, like, there's a lot going on with that one. Whereas Invictus, it's about a big game, but it's also about, it's really funny because it also has a lot of political elements into it too. Because it's about Nelson Mandela being freed from prison and going, being back in control of South Africa, and about apartheid and how they try to take this rugby team and make it to bring South Africa back together and to take them into, you know, the rugby World Championship game. So it was a really cool movie as well. And then Friday night,
when they combine sports and politics, like with the Olympics, because it is so charged. Like, on the one side, it's the entire world coming together to play sports in a supposedly friendly atmosphere, where even if you are rivals elsewhere, like, you can be rivals on the field, but at the end of the day, it is a sport, it's a game, and you're just there to try to do your best. But at the same time, like, you can't ignore the people who are fighting outside of this arena and kind of what that means and what it means to win or lose against somebody who's your enemy, you know, outside of that. So when they can combine those stories like that, I find that really fascinating and a really good use of, like, the political theme without it taking over the whole story.
Right. Well, in both Invictus and Miracle on Ice, they were very... I mean, Invictus was clearly very political for a lot of different reasons. Mandela used the idea of rugby and this team and getting them to work together and being really good at what they did to kind of try to heal a nation in a way and make them kind of all come back to the same page over something that they both loved, you know, that everybody could love. And it was rugby. And then with Miracle on Ice, that was just about political climate. You know, the United States and the USSR were in the middle of the Cold War, and it was a really big deal. And it was a really big thing back then to, you know, they had like all these Russian conspiracy theories and all these. It was crazy if you read about some of the stuff that politically was going on back then. So it's a really interesting way to see it play out in a different arena other than in politics. So I always find that really fascinating too, how a sporting event can change a dynamic or affect a political climate in such a way. And then you have things like Friday Night Lights, which is really about Texas and football. Like, that's essentially what it is. And Karen, I'll be really curious to see you watch Friday Night Lights, the movie or the TV show, because I think you'll find it interesting in a lot of ways. Because basically, it highlights just how important a sport and a sporting event can be to, like, a state or a group of people. Like, it is a way of life. It is not a question. And it's literally like that in Texas. It's not like it's, you know, we're not making it up. This is their thing. And that's completely understood. Like, everybody has their own thing. But it's such a level that I don't think I could comprehend unless you actually see it and, like, experience it, because it's very different from the way we view sports up here. I mean, we love our sports, and it's we have a different look at it, I think, than, like, it is a way of life. It is part of their culture in a major way that it's not as, I don't know, woven into up here, or at least not where in the area that I live in. So it's always fascinating to see that.
Like, in Friday Night Lights, like, in the show, the entire town goes to every high school football game every week. That's what it is. Like, it's not, like, a thing you can do if you want to. Like, everyone goes. And that's the only thing that happens in that town from 8 to 10 p.m. on Friday nights. So, yeah, it's a totally different atmosphere. It's a totally different culture of sports in Texas when it comes to football than it is with other things elsewhere.
Yeah, and I always find that really fascinating. And then it also brings in the dynamic of, if you're a football player, what does that mean? What does your life look like because you're good on the field? Do you know? And I always find that really fascinating, too, how different someone can be treated because they're a star athlete. And so it just adds a second level, I think, when we're looking at that kind of storyline. And, I mean, it's not just a storyline. Those stories come from someplace. You know, those aren't just things that people have magically made up. There's a lot of that. I mean, you look at any college team and you know, you've seen the stories in the paper about how athletes were given certain things to go to certain schools, which is totally against the NCAA regulations, but it still happens. So it's always fascinating to kind of read and see how sports can take on this really kind of ugly side, too, when it's being manipulated and you're trying to get the best players and stuff like that. So let's talk about the academic athlete. Can you think of any stories where you've read where the athlete is not only super smart, but super amazing as an athlete? Or vice versa, the dumb jock. If you think about it, it could go either way. It's more the dumb jock.
Yeah, I think that's more the trope here is, like, I've talked about Hashtag Nerd by Cambria Hebert before and the whole series, basically. But it all starts with the captain of the football team needing a tutor to stay eligible. And he meets Rimmel and, you know, it kind of blossoms from there. And it's you know, it's a nice way to kind of bring two people who wouldn't necessarily ever have anything in common together, but it's also, you know, it's built in conflict to have jocks who want to focus on the field and they love the game, so they don't necessarily love their studies as much. So yeah, it's one of those things that, yeah, it's a trope and it's kind of a stereotype that jocks are dumb, but it also kind of helps the story when you're building a world like that.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like sometimes the dumb jock thing gets really, like, overdone, though. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's just really bad. You're like, nobody can be that dumb. Like, you know what I mean? Have you ever picked up a book and it's like, the jock is so ridiculously dumb? You're like, no, I don't think anyone can really be that bad. So let's see. There's also the ever-prevalent career-ending injury. Have you guys read any novels with that in there?
Well, any chance, any reason to talk about Lauren Lane, I'll take. and in I Wish You Were Mine, the main character writes for the men's magazine Oxford because he used to be a football player and he got in a car accident and it ended his career. And so you're seeing him, like, deal with his injury, right, and what it means for him in the post-sports world and, you know, where he goes from here. And he has a college degree to fall back on, which not all athletes do. And, you know, watching all of that is always really interesting, too. Like, seeing how an athlete adjusts to doing something else with his life and looking into other careers and how he can stay attached to the sports world without playing sports. And, you know, all of that can be really cool too.
Right. I forgot about him. I was thinking there's a Rachel Gibson wrote a novel. It's one in her hockey set, and one of the hockey players gets into a car accident and he can't play anymore. It's just a given. Like, it's not happening. And he hires an assistant that comes in, and he is just grumpy and awful and terrible, because if you think about it, these are men who all of their life, they've only done one thing. They have been the athlete. And when you're not the athlete anymore, when that part of your identity is literally taken away from you, then what do you do? How do you cope? How do you manage? And I always find that a really interesting story, too. So I like it, because it gives you a different perspective on a person, I think, in a lot of different ways. And then we have the going home again trope. So you have the big athlete, they leave when they're in high school and they never go back home because God forbid. And then something happens and they have to go back home. So have you guys read any novels like that with athletes or not athletes? I mean, it's kind of the same. It kind of ends up the same in a lot of different ways.
Like, racking my brain. I don't know if I've ever really read. I mean, this theme, the trope sounds familiar, but it's not something that I've seen a lot of.
Just reminds me, which is not a sports movie, of Sweet Home Alabama.
There you go. That's our example. And then kind of the last one that pops up more and more, I think, recently, is the girl playing a sport that she shouldn't. So you have a female being cast in a role that is predominantly male, that it's not really a female role, kind of like the, you know, the TV show Pitch. You get a really different dynamic, and you see things very differently when you're a female put in a male position, surrounded typically by males. So have you guys read any novels where the female has been cast in that role?
The one book that I have, most of the time when I read books, the male is usually the athlete. I don't know why. Like, there's no real reason why, but one book that I absolutely love is Culty by Mariana Zapata. And it's not that she's playing a sport, she's a soccer player, it's not really that she's playing a sport she shouldn't, but you get a good snapshot at how female soccer is much less, like, praised than male soccer. Like, right. Watching guys play in the MLS, like, they have a professional league and all of that. And her friends, like, trying to make a go of it and seeing that they all have to keep other jobs in order to pay bills. Like,
right.
They're quote-unquote professional athletes, but they have to work hard elsewhere in addition to keeping in shape. So, like, seeing all of that was really cool, because you don't get the female side of sports, especially professional sports, very often. So I really liked it because of that.
Right. I think – and I see – and like I said, I read Catching Jordan. Miranda Canale writes a lot of books with female athletes in them. So it's always really interesting to see what she's writing and how she's shaping them and stuff like that. But I think being a girl who, A, played a lot of sports growing up, and not always as a female and as a female sports team, we weren't always as respected as the boys. Even though we made the state finals, even though we did a lot of things, it was really all about the boys. And so I think in a lot of books that comes across, even though in today's day and age, female athletes are just as good, if not better. If you look at the amount of medals brought home by athletes from the Olympics, they were more females that brought home medals than males. If you look at, like, I live in Connecticut, and in Connecticut, we have one of the most dominant female basketball teams in the country. You know, UConn is literally down the street from me. And so, like, I grew up in an area where female sports are actually now really highly looked upon, because they're some of the best athletes in the country, if not the world. And so it's really interesting to see how the dynamic has changed as I've grown up, and how female sports have kind of shifted and are more predominant and more, you know, people get really excited. There are UConn banners everywhere, all over this part of the state, and the games are always sold out, and people always show up. Like, and it's not just people from the college going or the university going, it's people from all over the state going, because they want to see really strong athletes and they want to see these girls play. And it was different when I was younger. You know, there weren't a lot of big sports teams. There weren't professional female sports teams in any capacity, really. And it wasn't, like, really talked about that, you know, the U.S. women's national team was winning the World Cup and winning gold medals and doing all these things. Those things weren't talked about a lot. It was just like, oh, yeah, they won. But for me as a female athlete, it was really, really exciting to know that there were women out there from our country that were amazing at what they did and could do these things. So I think it's really interesting when you pick up books and you can see kind of all the differences in how they've changed over time and how female athletes are viewed and how the story has changed and how the script has changed basically about a female athlete over time.
Yeah. And another thing is like just females in general in the sports world. I love Sawyer Bennett's Cold Fury hockey series. And it's mostly, you know, it's about the hockey team and the guys on the team. But I think it's the fourth book called Riker that, in addition to being about this guy, Riker, who I believe plays goalie, the female character in that book is the only female general manager in the professional hockey setting. So she is in charge of her team and in charge of you know, all of the things that a general manager does with managing staff and coaches and all of that. It was really, really cool to see a lady that high up and controlling the team and having a controlling stake in it and how that affected the guys and just all of that. There's a lot more women involved in the sports world now than there was 10 years ago. And you don't necessarily have to be an athlete to be involved. Like, there's a lot more women in like ESPN and reporting. There's a lot more women involved in the, like, the office side of sports and all of that too. So I liked that book for that reason, especially. It was nice to see a lady like getting her hands dirty.
Right. And I think even in more today in like the real world, there are women coaches. Like there's a woman, I think a head football coach somewhere.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is she a football coach? I can't remember. A basketball coach. But there's a head female coach of a men's professional team. And let's be real, that's kind of groundbreaking, which is so sad to say. But it's our reality. There are general managers. There are owners that are female. And again, sports are viewed primarily as a man's world. I mean, that's still the reality, I think, in a lot of ways for us. Even though women enjoy sports and women play sports and all of these things, it's still a boys' club. So it's really fascinating to see these women kind of being, like you said, in these dynamic roles that were not typical for females, you know, even 10 years ago.
The coach you were thinking of is Jen Welter, and it's the Cardinals. She works with the linebackers.
I think that's the reason why I enjoy stories where a female athlete is playing on a male team, because it adds that, like, it's already a challenge. Like, you can just, you know, read a book about football and watching these guys overcome the obstacles to win the game at the end of the day. But when you add a female athlete in there with them, it's that extra level of challenge that I think that I really enjoy. And it's also sort of like the ultimate underdog story, because nobody's going to believe that this girl can keep up with the guys. And when she does, like, it's even better. And I think that's why I like Pitch, and even going back to like Mighty Ducks, you know, like seeing girls on a team with boys has always just been really exciting for me. And I'd actually really like to read more books about that, because I think you guys are right in terms of female athletes. Like, it's not like it's uncommon to read or watch movies about that, but I feel like it's definitely not as common, and that should change. And hopefully with a show like Pitch, and hopefully it stays on the air, that's something that we'll be seeing more of, because it's still a relatable story, whether or not it's a guy or a girl. You know, plenty of females watch male sports and read books about male athletes and watch movies about male athletes. So why can't it go the other way around?
Very true. Up next, our next episode will be our author spotlight for this month, and it's going to be C.S. Lewis. And then following that, our book club book will be The Dead House by Don Kurdigich, which Karen is super excited about. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.